You're listening to the Gridiron Growl Podcast from ChopTalk.com.
All right, folks, we have Nicholas De La Torre on with us from Gators Territory, joining me, David Soderquist, and lead writer in charge at Chomp Talk, Brian Fox Jr. And folks, rumors, smoke, and a bunch of articles, maybe some to generate clicks out there, whether it's talking about Dan Mullen being considered by the New York Jets to Dan and the administration having differences to just about anything else you've heard that's crazy on social media. And a lot of folks going nuts here these past couple of days. So let's just go ahead and cut straight to the point here. First of all, with you, Nick, right now, with the way that things are, should you be concerned as a Florida fan that Dan Mullen could indeed leave the University of Florida?
Yeah, I think when he was hired, I think my initial response was, man, Florida probably just hired, you know, their Saban, their Dabo, maybe not in the sense of, you know, the success, but the guy that's going to be there for the rest of their career. And I think this year kind of started opening my eyes and changing that based on just what I had seen being around the program from people I talked to inside the program. I think that it's real, that if Dan gets an opportunity, one that's right. And I mean, there's six teams. If the Chargers offer you a job and you get Justin Herbert, that's a great situation. Go live in California with a second year quarterback who had that kind of rookie year. I think it is real. It also could be a very real negotiating tactic because Dan Mullen's just finished his third year of a six-year contract, which means it's time to renegotiate because you don't want your head coach to drop under 4 years. And listen, Jimmy Sexton's a very rich man, and he has very rich clients. He does this as well as anybody does. So it could be a very, very easy text message for Jimmy to send to Adam Schefter, you know, just before Adam goes on live on Sunday before the NFL games. Hey, Dan's interested. Adam just drops a little thing and here we are. And that would give you negotiating leverage, which I think Dan, for the most part, punted all year long in his post-game press conferences and the way he handled himself on the field at halftime against Missouri. You know, I didn't really have a problem with it, but it shined Florida a bad light on Florida. And, you know, honestly, President Fox might hold the door for him, you know, if he's on his way out, might hold the door for him with, you know, the kind of attention that Dan brought to the University of Florida. So I think it is real. If Dan got the opportunity to go to the right situation, I think he would. But I also think it's a really smart negotiating tactic on the part of his agent.
Hey, Nick, I had been telling Dave for the last few weeks and basically anybody that would listen that Dan Mullen, the last few weeks in his press conferences and his dealings with the media had seemed kind of off, like almost as if he was looking ahead to possibly taking another job. Was that a vibe that you had caught at all in watching the press conferences and being a part of those?
I've honestly stopped trying to figure out or expect what to expect from Dan Mullen after some of these games. I mean, he got real tired of my line of questioning towards the end of the year. I know that's for sure. He was not happy with some of my questions, and hey, that's going to happen. That's part of the job. But I think Dave tweeted it out. Somebody sent him a video of Mullen, and it was his last game right before he left Mississippi State for Florida. And just kind of his answers to me seemed a lot like we had seen the last couple of years. To me, though, I go back to losing to Missouri in his first year at Florida and that fire and that intensity, challenging, you know, us in the media that were in the room to a thumb wrestling match. And he said, it didn't matter if it's thumb wrestling or if we're running stadiums, I want to beat you. And then after the Cotton Bowl to be like, oh yeah, I think our scout team played well. To me, it was just such a cop out. So maybe potentially also you can't downplay the kind of stress that he's been under, that the players have been under, that everyone had to go through to get to this point. So to me, he looked more so tired than, you know, Jim McElwain showing up and claiming death threats that, you know, were never a real thing. So to me, it was kind of just, it looked like the weight of the season and everything that had happened, it was just wearing him down.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of look a lot of things to look to in that. A lot of people are saying all sorts of things. Dan's been acting like this because he's leaving, or he's been acting like this because of the season. And it's just weird. I mean, to me, just as a fan, it's just really weird. And you go back to that Oklahoma game where he was in the press conference. I believe he said we didn't have our real team out there or something along the lines of that. And that how does that look to your players that you recruited? These are the players you recruited on the recruiting trail. This is your fourth year. So most of these players are your players. And for you to go out and say, well, I didn't have my real team out there, is just like, I kind of shied away. I looked at the TV for a second. I'm like, did he really just say that? Like, you recruited these players. And for me to see that, I don't know, man. And the whole thing about, oh, well, I didn't see the cleat being thrown. And in my mind, I'm like, well, if you didn't see the cleat because of the fog, well, you saw the yellow flag. You probably asked what the flag was about. So you knew what it was about. So you knew it happened. But then in a press conference, you're going to say, well, I didn't see that. And I don't know, man. Just to holding kids accountable this whole year, even if it was poor play, just holding them accountable for poor play. Or for throwing cleats or something like that. And then you had the crowd excuses after the A&M game, and it just seemed off. It just seemed like a really off year. And Brian, like, I think it was three podcasts ago, I thought you were kind of crazy for saying that, but you were just saying, doesn't it seem the way that Dan's acting like here as of late that he might be trying to take a job in the NFL? And I was like, I don't know about that, but now what you've said about 3 weeks ago is also came true. So,
And to be fair, I just thought that based on the way that he was going about his press conferences and stuff, that it didn't seem like he was as invested as he had been in previous years. Now, Nick, you were obviously much more privy to those, and you didn't really catch that vibe per se at the time. But, you know, looking back now, I think even more we can look at and say, you know, something didn't fit there. Something wasn't right. And, you know, it's 2020. There's a pandemic going on. There's all kinds of excuses that can be made. But it didn't sit right with me. It didn't feel right watching it.
Yeah. Kind of like what I said a little bit about, you know, that fire after the Missouri game, that, like, where is that? And I get that. Listen, you just inherited a team that was, a 4-win team the year before. So it's not like, you're thinking you have to build a culture, but you have to build that culture every single year, not just, okay, well, it worked well the first two times. And then to David's point too, you know, saying that it was his scout team, like, yeah, okay, you had some guys that were walk-ons, but you also had guys, like David pointed out, that you recruited. And we're getting into, you know, whenever a new coach comes in, everyone wants to say, like, oh, the cupboard was bare, this and that. Kyle Trask, Kadarius Toney, Pitts, some of the guys, the receivers from before, Freddie Swain, like, those are McElwain guys. So we'll see if Dan is back next year. We'll see what he thinks about the guys that he recruited and the job that they did on the trail with those guys and their development. Because, like he said, the scout team guys are the guys he recruited and played for the majority of the Cotton Bowl.
Hey, Nick, did you happen to catch Matt Hayes' piece on Saturday Down South earlier this week?
Yes, I did. Before I wrote mine, I saw that and
well, he starts talking about the friction potentially between the academic side or the administrative side and the football side. Do you have any more information on that, or do you mind recapping that maybe for the people that are listening?
Yeah, there's definite friction. Florida hasn't had, since Florida went on the probation in the 80s, like when Spurrier came on, they made it clear. The president at the time, Jeremy Foley, they made it clear, we're not going on probation. We will not be that kind of school. So to get a show clause, which is, you know, the biggest thing that you can give a head coach or any coach, is damning. It shows that not only, okay, it wasn't just a mistake. Oh, I meant to text him on Thursday after the deadline, you know, or after whatever passed, and I text him on Wednesday on accident. It showed, you know, deliberate actions. And listen, Dan Mullen's not the only one doing that, and you got caught. But to me, yeah, that coupled with the Pack the Swamp, and here's another thing. He, after the Pack the Swamp comments, he had agreed to a statement to read something, to walk those back. That was the plan. He shows up Monday. Everyone thinks, everyone in the building thinks he's going to do it. We ask him first question. He doesn't. He doubles down. and everyone in the building that in Florida's building, not in this room on Zoom with him, everyone's thinking, what is he doing? He literally got into the elevator and walked into this room with a plan to read this prepared statement, and now he's not doing it. So yeah, there's definitely friction with the administration. And I think Scott Strickland has told us before that he and Dan butted heads at time while they were at Mississippi State. They're two guys who take a lot of pride in what they do. And I think to say there isn't friction with all the headaches Dan has caused Strickland, Fox, the university this year, I think to say there wasn't, you'd be turning a blind eye to something that's, to me, glaring.
Yeah. A thought goes through my head, and I wanted to ask, I guess, both of you guys this too. As a fan, do you think Dan Mullen is kind of playing games with the administration with saying he's considering going to the NFL to see if maybe he can get what he wants out of the administration and maybe like calling their bluff a little bit?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like what I said. Like I said, probably sound like I was talking circles. But I think both things can be true. I think he wants more control, more autonomy. You'll get that once you move out of the building where compliance is and you move across the street into the new football facility. But he wants more guys on the recruiting staff. And he's gotten more than Muschamp had, and he has more than McElwain had. But I don't think it's certainly not to the level where every player has a butler like at Alabama or at Clemson. But he wants more. And he gave away all of his leverage in contract negotiations. He's up for a negotiation. He's up for an extension, whether it's a raise and an extension or just an extension. He's up for it, and he punted his leverage multiple times this year. So I think it's both. I think, one, he would jump at the right opportunity to leave the NFL, and two, if that opportunity doesn't come, just taking the interviews and floating your name out there returns some of that leverage that you lost throughout the year. So I think both can be true at the same time.
And Nick, I read that Dan Mullen is the 10th highest paid coach in the country. With that figure being as high as it is it possible that he is going to get a raise here? Is he deserving of a raise at this point?
It's so hard because, 1 month ago, we're talking about Dan Mullen getting to 28 wins faster than Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer, and how quickly can things change in a month, with the way that Florida ends. So if you'd have asked me a month ago, I would have said yes. So then I have to be real with myself and say, okay, well, is how the season ended bad enough to change that answer? And I don't think that I would say yes. I don't know how much more you give him. He already makes, just a hair over $6 million a year. But I don't know if he's going to settle for, hey, we're just going to tack on one more year to your contract and you're going to stay the same. I don't know if that's where he wants to sit at the negotiating table. So to me, what kind of raise do you give him? Do you give him $8 million a year? Like how high do you go? I'm not sure that's a number that Scott Strickland and UF and the UAA would sign off on right now.
I think you could take some money from Grantham and give it to Mullen.
He's making plenty.
Yeah. This went through my head. A lot of things went through my head. It's been a crazy just past 2 days. It feels like it's been like 2 months of just stress and anxiety just looking at Twitter and social media and Facebook. Do you think possibly this hurts the program a little? I guess, I don't know, everything that went on. Could it help Mullen on the recruiting trail? Could he say, hey, look, kids, the NFL wanted me and they really wanted me and they came after me, but I stayed at the University of Florida because I love it. And especially being Georgia now this year, I mean, he could say, well, I had a quarterback that almost won a Heisman, and he could pitch all this kind of stuff to these kids now. Do you think it's more of an advantage if he were to stay, it'd be more of an advantage to him in the recruiting field? But I guess considering we found out about all these things that happened, with these violations and all that, do you think that obviously that hurt him a little bit, obviously, but now I think there's only like 4 days left for the 2021, he's got to serve like a suspension for 2021 for 4 days, I guess.
Yeah, just it. Like 4 days, yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty much all over with. Do you think, just in general, that would actually help?
Maybe, but is that just bringing you back to a level playing field because Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, Manny Diaz, and anyone, literally anyone recruiting against Florida can just point and say, hey, he's not going to be there. yeah, sure, he stayed. It's because he had a terrible interview and he didn't get the job offer. But the second he gets the job offer, he's gone. And he showed that because he's taken the interview this year and he'll take the interview again next year. I'm going to be here all 4 years. And I don't think there's a, there might be two coaches, Saban and Dabo, that can actually say to a recruit, honestly, like, I'm going to be here all 4 years that you're there. I mean, coaches just don't have that kind of job security. And who knows if Dan, I think Dan had that job security. Who knows if he has it after this year? So to me, yeah, you can use it, but you might have to use that if he's back just to get back to a level playing field, because this is going to be used against Florida on the recruiting trail as a look. He's not, he's, I don't know what he's telling you, but it's not honest because he's going and he's got one foot out the door already.
And with the expected changes in the transfer portal, this might be the best time for something like this to happen, I would think. I fully expect Florida next year to take maybe only 18 to 20 guys and then make a much more concerted effort in that transfer portal, especially if that, that Congress goes through with the automatic eligibility. But yeah, I think that adds a whole new wrinkle to it. But I mean, it's just, it's such a weird state. Like David said, you know, it's been 2 days that have kind of felt like, holy crap, this has been like the last 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. But, you know, that's what it is being a Gator fan, I guess, right?
Yeah, there's never a dull day. I thought I'd have my boss told me to take the weekend off after I was coming home and did not have the weekend off, that's for sure. There's just always something going on at the University of Florida, good, bad, and different. There's just always some kind of headline.
Yeah, Dave Waters hit the nail on the head when he made that quote, when he said there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation. I think you can apply that to any time something's going on in Gator Nation. So, but hopefully, man, me personally, there's a lot of people out there. I don't understand. I can't say a lot of people because it's not a lot of people. It's probably just probably 2% of people are saying fire Dan Mullen, and I don't get that. I have no clue where that came from.
Who's the replacement?
Right. Who's going to replace him? And on top of that, has Dan Mullen been that bad to where he should be fired, like, as a head coach for what he's done for this university? I don't know if they haven't watched our university for the past decade. It's been bad. It's over a decade. Our offense has been bad. We've had elite defenses, but we can't win a game. And now you brought the winning standard back to Florida. Unfortunately, this year there's been things that have been going on to where, you know, we don't kind of feel it as fans anymore. But for you to say fire Dan Mullen is pretty, I don't know. It's just ridiculous to me. But I guess we'll see what happens in the next coming, I guess, what, weeks or days, weeks. I guess it's an everyday thing now. But anyway, I want to get into a little bit of the Heisman talk here because we just had the Heisman Trophy ceremony here about, what, 45 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Kyle Trask does not win the Heisman. Devontae Smith wins the Heisman. Two great seasons from both of them. Don't get me wrong, man. Devontae Smith deserved every bit of that Heisman Trophy, putting up what he did this year. Just about every team, he torched every single team that was on the field. And it didn't matter what kind of defense you were playing, Devontae Smith was a weapon out there. And it shows. 1,500 plus yards for the regular season. You said, what, 1,700 yards now, and then you got the national championship. What I didn't like to see was Kyle Trask at 4. I didn't agree with that. It's, you know, an individual award, but, you know, it sucks that, I guess, Todd Grantham or the defense kind of lost this for him. And I'm just going to be honest, and I don't want to blame a player. I've blamed Marco Wilson 1,000 times on Twitter, but it just kind of sucks that Kyle Trask put up these kind of numbers and we still lost 4 games.
Yeah. You know, I got here in 2013. So I've seen some incredible defense and some absolutely abysmal offense. And it's almost like Thanos, like Florida fans were praying to Thanos, like, hey, give us an offense. He's like, all right, cool. There goes your defense. Enjoy the offense. Just with a snap of your fingers. I can't blame Todd Grantham totally. I can't blame the defense totally. I thought they turned a corner at some point during the year, and it just turned out that they were playing bad offenses. So joke's on me. I mean, more than 1,200 yards of offense given up the last 2 games when you finally start playing some good – I mean, sorry, LSU wasn't even a good defense. But when you play 2 good defenses the final 2 games – the defenses were kind of down all around the nation this year, but like Alabama figured it out. Oklahoma's defense figured it out. So like there was a definite period of time where it was Todd Grantham, I think, told us like, hey, we haven't tackled since the Orange Bowl last year. I was like, okay, that could be an excuse. I'm ready to hear you out. And then they started to pick it up and you saw some defense start to pick it up. But I think defenses as a whole were down, but this was, and there's no getting around it, no sugarcoating it, a historically bad defense at the University of Florida and by the University of Florida standards. So did that cost Kyle some? Maybe. But they were also so bad that he had to keep going back on the field because it was never going to be a blowout. And you look at a guy like Mac Jones, and his numbers are down because they had a running back, and Florida couldn't run the ball. So Kyle Trask gets down to the 10-yard line, and Florida's going to throw the ball. And Alabama's going to has a chance to run it. Najee Harris, one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the country. I think it would have been, in my opinion, really unfortunate and wrong for a quarterback to win the award tonight, as we tape it tonight, over Kyle Trask. I think he had the best season by a quarterback. You can make the argument for Mac Jones with his QBR and his completion percentage. But I think Kyle Trask was the best quarterback. I don't have any problem with Devonta winning it. And I think it's ridiculous that Trevor Lawrence was finished second. It's not a career award. It's a season award. He had a tremendous career. He's going to be the number one pick in the draft. Those are all great things. Second most outstanding player in the country this year. He was not.
Yeah, and just to echo kind of what you were saying there, I don't have any problem whatsoever with Devontae Smith taking the Heisman. He earned it. I think he got lucky and bailed out that Jaylen Waddle got hurt so early into the season because I think those guys would have split up a lot of those receptions. But there's nothing against Devontae Smith here for winning. He deserved it. And I do have issues, much like you said, with Trevor Lawrence getting second and Matt getting third, and then Max taking a lot of these quarterback awards for most of the regular season. I have issues with that. I think statistically, Kyle Trask was head and shoulders above the rest of the field. If you put Kyle Trask on that Alabama team, you might be looking at obscure stats that we've never even seen in college football. And that's with a Heisman worthy running back.
Yeah. I don't get it, man. It sucks to have such a good start to the season and be on such a high, especially after beating Georgia. Everybody looks at it as a 16-point win on paper. Yes. But if you actually watch the game, it's a complete blowout
from it wasn't close.
Yeah. It wasn't close at all. Florida could have turned their offense on again and not have – they took their foot off the gas pedal in that game. Florida could have probably scored 60, 70 points if they wanted to. But, I mean, you have such a high in that Georgia game. Never beaten Georgia. You blow them out pretty much in Jacksonville. And then you look like you're going to finish off the season, you know, pretty – probably undefeated. And then you have that loss to LSU. And then you have a loss to Alabama, which isn't an upsetting loss. That's a 6-point loss to the best team in the nation. Mm-hmm. They've been a consistent best team in the nation for a decade. But if you go back in history, they've won a lot of titles too with Bear Bryant. But you have that, and then you completely just get smoked in the Cotton Bowl. And obviously, we knew all the opt outs. We knew who was missing. We know Copeland had COVID, but it still just kind of puts a damper on the season. And then mm-hmm. to see Kyle Trask be number four in the Heisman voting. Now, if he would have lost, it'd probably been number two. I would have been okay with that. But you see him at number four. And I know you had posted Barrett Saleh had him at number two. And it just, I don't know, as a fan, it just puts a damper on the season. It doesn't mean that it wasn't a great season. I loved watching this season. There was not a team out there that I thought that we couldn't win against. I could tell you that. But it was just like it was just really just kind of the defense. Where was the question on the defense? But I mean, offense made their mistakes too. So
yeah, I mean, if Kyle doesn't turn the ball over three times against LSU and Florida wins that game, if Dan Mullen, who's in his 13th year as a head coach, knows how and when to call timeouts, maybe Kyle has more time to put together a game-winning drive against Alabama, and there's your Heisman moment. But I agree with you. I take it from the standpoint, and I totally get the frustration. Like, listen, I had to watch you know, I had to watch all the games in person and watch the defense struggle to get off the field. That wasn't fun. But to me, just the fact that they played 12 games, some of the stories that we had, Kyle Pitts, Kadarius Toney's emergence, Kyle Trask, to me, I'm not as emotionally invested as a fan, so I don't want to tell anyone how to feel, but to me, it was a really fun season with the storylines that we had. I totally get the frustration, but I was just appreciative to have 12 games to cover this year and to have the kind of stories that we had throughout the year.
Hey, Nick, one thing I sort of found stunning with the entire Kyle Trask Heisman campaign, whatever, was the lack of a campaign put up by UF or by Dan Mullen or anybody affiliated with the Gator football program. It seemed like until the day that the votes were due, which most people had already cast their votes by then, there was absolutely nothing. And I can't even put to words how that, like Alabama, you expect them to do nothing. They've got four guys in the top 10, but this is a Florida program that hasn't had this kind of success and what it could have meant for recruiting. And to me, it's almost a huge black mark on Dan Mullen's record for not getting behind his quarterback earlier on.
I gave him every opportunity. Asked him probably four times, just teed it up. So here you go, Dan. Here's a big yellow softball sitting here for you. Just tell me how good your quarterback is. And it just consistently, the best thing we can do for him is keep winning. The best thing we can do is keep winning. I've seen it happen before. It's all politics. Okay, if it's politics, then be a politician for your guy. Then go campaign for your guy. Instead, you know, you end the season the way you do and you send out a tweet 8 hours before the polls close. Cool. Great campaign. And I can say this. I think the media department from Florida, I mean, from the videos to the graphics, they've done an incredible job. When it comes to certain stuff, Dan Mullen is the president of that football program and the buck stops on the president's desk. So there was stuff that I think Florida wanted to do and Dan didn't want to. Whether that's just being like, hey, we want to focus on team. We want to focus on team goals and championships and winning games each week. If that's the reason, I don't think he had a vendetta against Kyle Trask and didn't want him to win an award. Everything David just said, it could be so great for you recruiting wise and just the publicity that brings your, you know, brings your school. You get to say that you coached a Heisman winner. And what does that do for you on the recruiting trail? So I don't think Dan purposely tanked or did anything. I just think he dropped the ball. They should have done more for Kyle Trask. And I'm not saying the university. I think Dan Mullen could have and should have done more in terms of campaigning for Kyle Trask.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't know, man. At the end of the day, I want Dan Mullen here, but if Dan Mullen's energy isn't in it and he doesn't want to thumb wrestle people, and he kind of, you see the same things that you would see next year, and he's just not, his head's not in the game, I'd rather have him gone and have somebody else here that actually wants to try to win and wants to do it. And I'm not saying that Dan Mullen doesn't do that or he's not going to, something happened this year. We all know it. Something has happened. But we'll see, man. I'm personally trying to float in between my left side of my brain and my right side of my brain, and one of them's not wanting to agree with the other one here. But it's been one of those years. It's one of those years you don't see Dan Mullen, and it is as personality and living up the Gator standard, holding on to the rope. You know, you've heard it all. Possibly it could have been the year of not having, you know, strength training with Nick Savage and having people in the practices. You know how they hold onto the ropes in practice and they do all that kind of stuff. Maybe it could have just wore on him a little bit and just wasn't a year for him. He didn't feel, at home, with his practice and all that. So, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I think it's sometimes it can be too much to look into. And I think we kind of trick our minds into thinking other things. And, that at the end of the day, that's what I want. I just want a head coach that's going to want to win at the University of Florida, whether it's Dan Mullen or somebody else.
Did he make you feel that at one time? And did that change this year?
No, to be honest, it didn't. And I hate to say that. Like, I really want to say, hey, look, something's going to happen. But I didn't feel it this season. I really didn't. I had a different feeling about Dan Mullen this season than I had in the past two. And I'm just being honest. What about you, Brian?
Well, no, I mean, I I think I felt better about him when he got off that airplane. He's doing the Gator chomp than when Jim McElwain got off of an airplane. I think there's been spurts where Dan Mullen has said and done the right things. I think I kind of live by the, what are you at your worst? And I think over the last month, I've kind of seen a side of Dan Mullen that I didn't know existed. And it kind of scares the hell out of you moving forward. Like, how much more of this guy are we going to get? Is this going to be a guy that, you know, fakes heart conditions to get out of a job eventually? And I'm not trying to suggest that he's going to do that or that he would do that. But, you know, these are questions that as a Florida fan, somebody who has experienced this, I think it has to be at least in the back of your head and your subconscious that this is a possibility.
That he was there. He was there for those. So it's interesting because I kind of agree with you guys. I mean, shoot, he hadn't said stuff like hold the rope and strain to David's point as much this year. It was almost a joke. We'd be sitting in press conferences and like, keeping like a clicker, like someone counting attendance at a baseball game of how many times did he say strain? There's another one. And I completely forgot that was a saying, you know, cause it just wasn't a thing this year. So I don't know. I think I kind of want to give him credit and maybe I'm an apologist. But I kind of want to just say like, hey, listen, this is a really, really mentally taxing year, for everyone. And maybe that just weighed on him and maybe that was it. I still think I mean, there's so many ways to go with it. Like they're not great recruiters. You don't have to recruit in the NFL, but if you're tired of the media, go to the Jets and see what the New York media is like, buddy. We are a bunch of cupcakes asking you questions here in Gainesville. If you're tired of my questions, have fun in New York when you lose your first football game.
Yeah, I was about to say, the first game he loses, they're going to boo him out of the building and probably throw trash
literally
at him.
Just going to halftime down, they'll boo you out of the building. They'll fire him. Don't let him come back out of the half.
At the end of the day.
Nick, nope, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Nick, I just wanted to ask you, if you had to put a percentage to it, what's the percentage that you think Dan Mullen comes back next year?
It's tough because I think if he gets a job, like I mentioned the Chargers, if he gets offered that job, I think he's gone. He's also only been hired as a head coach twice. Once was when he was the hottest name around as the guy that called plays for Tim Tebow in that offense. And then the second time was by his friend, Scott Strickland. So he's had other jobs and job interviews. He had a bunch of job interviews at Mississippi State. Maybe he's just not a good job interview. We've seen his personality. He can rub people the wrong way. Apparently, he has rubbed people the wrong way so much that there is that weird niche part of the fan base that's calling for him to be fired. He's rubbed them the wrong way. So to me, it'll be interesting. I think if he gets the right opportunity, he would leave. But I think for the most part, my biggest takeaway is that this was to gain leverage for negotiating a new contract extension. So I would go as high as 75%, 80% that Dan Mullen's back. I don't think he'll have a great interview and get the job offer. And I think this is more for negotiating, but if he does get an enticing offer, he'll jump at it.
Yeah. And I've kind of said the whole time that Dan Mullen is not a young guy going into these. This is an NFL now that nowadays it's hiring guys at 33, 35, 38. Dan Mullen's 48 years old. He's an old man in this game. If he's going to take a job like this, it's going to be now. And with the jobs that are out there, there's several that looking at it, man, if Urban Meyer doesn't end up in Jacksonville, is that not a really good market? Minus maybe the Gator fans that are there for him to end up at.
Maybe Urb is just taking the heat for Dan right now. And Urban gets in the room for his interview and was like, you're not going to get me. But you know what's the second best thing? Dan Mullen, my buddy Dan. He's right down the road. He's won a game in the stadium already. So that's as many as you guys did last year. Go ahead and hire him. Maybe that's a smokescreen. I didn't think Urban would be coaching again, especially not in the NFL. And then I saw that $12 million number float out, and I was like, "Listen, I will do a lot of jobs for $12 million. You can call me whatever names you want. I'll do a lot of jobs for $12 million."
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be like Conor McGregor, go out in a boxing fight, and you can knock me out for, what, $20 million or whatever he makes per fight he has? Probably more than that now. But before we end this, I just want to go ahead and say all those people that are Atlanta Falcons fans wanting Dan Mullen are the same Georgia fans that are saying Dan Mullen's trash as a head coach. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think if you had the Venn diagram, they would be right there in the middle of it.
All right, man. It's fun talking to you, Dick, Brian, man. Always a good time having Nick Dellatore on with us, Dick. And hopefully next year you can ask more questions that annoy Dan Mullen. So
I'll be annoying somebody. I don't know if it'll be Dan. Hopefully
it is. But anyway, Nick, let everybody know where they can find you, man, social media and other platforms.
Social media, it's at Dellatore, Dellatore. That's been a thing this week on Twitter, with some people posting fake news for me and the sex rivals.
There's like two of you out there right now. And like there's one David Waters and two Nick Dellatores.
Do you even know if you're talking to the real Nick Dellatore? This could be anybody.
I don't know.
How come you don't have the blue check mark yet, Nick?
I don't know. I'm not important enough, man.
See, I usually go by that, and I don't have that. And I'm like, damn, Nick is with Rivals now. Is that?
So it's on Twitter. It's at Dellatore. That's it. I'm like, it's like Paul Feinbaum. It's just the last name. That's it. There's nothing else. If there's anything other than that, it's not me.
I'm going to have to go ahead and check to see if Nick's wearing a mask right now or not. So, all right, Nick, man.
All the stuff is at Rivals. So appreciate you guys having me on. And we'll be on the show whenever you need me to be.
Thanks, right. Nick.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. And that was Nick Dellatore joining us here once again from Gators territory, man. Always a great time with Nick. He's been on our show quite a few times in the past. And once again here with us tonight. All-around great guy, man. Just all-around great guy. And a lot of those guys over there at Gators territory, from Corey Bender, Nick Dellatore, and even Joseph Hastings, formerly of Gators territory, he's been on our show quite a few times now over there at Ohio State, but just all around great guys over there at Gators territory. I love them all. And if you got a question, comment, or any kind of take, feel free to drop us a voicemail on our voicemail line. The number is 352-888-4687. And maybe, just maybe, we will have a special guest like this on one of the shows, and he or she can also answer your comment or question, or even if you got a hot take, you could put that one in there too. Just submit it to our voicemail line and we will answer it. And like I said, folks, we'd like to get your voices heard on this podcast. We're all for the fans and folks here in Gator Nation. And before we end this podcast, I'd like to go ahead and thank our sponsors from the UPS store here in Tower Square. For all your printing and shipping needs, make sure to check out the UPS store in Tower Square. We would also like to thank the band Felicity for the intro music to all of our podcasts. The song that you heard at the beginning of this podcast was called Circles. It is from their album called Burn the World. You can check them out on Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, and other music and media platforms. And you can follow them on Twitter at WeAreFelicity. All right, folks, that'll wrap it up for our quick update on the coaching situation here at Florida and the Heisman ceremony. Remember to follow us and our podcast on Twitter at @gridiron_growl. And obviously, you can find us and all of our great articles on every Gator sport here at chomptalk.com.